Right. Well, as we have been continuing through the book of Titus, go ahead and turn there with me to Titus chapter 2. And I think we only have about two or three lessons left in biblical womanhood and biblical manhood. Last week, I think Ray had the teaching for the young men, and now we've moved back to biblical womanhood. And the main theme for today is being kind. And I think as most of these facets have applied to not just women or not just men, but there's crossover between the two. So being that this is just in the chapter of biblical womanhood does not mean that there's not anything for us men to apply here as well, because it all applies. But let's first look at Ephesians 4:32 in our introduction to this study on kindness and being kind. Ephesians 4:32, and when somebody gets there, please read it for us.
Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
Hey, thank you, Raul. So throughout Scripture, we see the importance of kindness, that as children of God, we possess these fruits of the Spirit that should be exhibited in our lives as He lives in us. There's an outworking of His Holy Spirit within us. And one of the fruits that should be produced within us that should mark our character is that of kindness. So kindness is very important in kingdom work. It should be the quality that people associate with us as Christians. If we're Christ's ambassadors and we say we're Christians, then we should be reflecting that in our lives. And one of the character traits that we can exhibit to reflect Christ-likeness is that we are kind, because Christ is kind to us and He is merciful to us. God, in His great kindness, brought to us His Son, Jesus. And so we find kindness listed among the attributes for godly women. And so that brings us into the passage from Titus today, and that's Titus chapter 2, 4 through 5. And we'll see here that it's one of the essential character qualities of young women who are pursuing to glorify God, striving to glorify God. These are attributes that obviously none of us are going to be perfect at, but it is essential that we are striving towards these godly characteristics. And this morning, we're going to be looking at this word kindness, as we've done with all the other attributes that we see here that apply to young men and young women in Titus chapter 2. So verses 4 and 5 of Titus 2, and let's have, Phil, you want to read those for us?
Sure. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
Okay. In your translation, King James, New King James?
New King James.
New King James. So that word kind is good, I believe, in King James translation. ESV, verse 5, is to be sensible, pure workers at home. Kind, and then being subject to their own husbands. So we've looked at the being sensible part of this, the pure, the workers at home, and now today we're going to be looking at kindness, and I think we'll be finishing out this study. Maybe Jesus or Stephen knows. Are we almost done with it? Is next Sunday the last one?
Pretty close, yeah.
Pretty close, yeah. And then I think Ray is, God's put it on his heart to do another study, and I think it's called the One Another's, you know, the congregation, the fellowship of the church. So we're really looking forward to that, but this has been a really good study. And today, as we get ready to almost close out this passage, we're going to be looking at kindness. As we do a lot of times with a word that we see in the Bible, we go back to original translation, and we'll look at the Greek and the Greek text for the word kind or good, depending on what translation you're reading from, is agathos. And it's translated as good or kind, as we just found in different translations. But when agathos is used to describe the character or the activity of a person, then it takes on a more specific meaning. So it's one thing just to have a definition of a word, what it is to be kind, but then it is another thing to act on that word, to actually be kind one to another. Because Paul writes here to Titus that even though he doesn't say be before every one of these things, be sensible, be pure, be workers at home, because he starts out with be sensible and then he lists pure, workers at home, kind, we take that back to the be. This is the verb that should be produced in our life. We should be striving to be kind to everyone and kind, especially to one another in the church. It means they are not only good or kind, but also fit, capable, and useful, as it applies to the word kind. In other words, a kind person is one who is capable of representing Christ. So Christ-like kindness, that's defined for us in the Bible. If we want to try to see what an attribute of God is like, we don't go to Webster's Dictionary to define that for us, because we might get a worldly picture of that. Every once in a while, you'll find that you open the dictionary, and sometimes it's described exactly like it is in the Bible, and you wonder, okay, I wonder where they got that from. Well, we know where they got that from. Somebody looked at the Bible to find it, but if we're looking for any of these words defined for us, including kindness, we go to God's Word. It's not shown, though, to make the giver the focal point. So if we're expressing kindness towards one another and towards someone in our lives, we should not be doing that just to bring attention to ourselves. Like, look how kind I am. Look how altruistic I am. But rather, we should be using it as all these things that are in us as we use them to glorify God and to advance His kingdom. But the way that we would do it within the church body and how we interrelate with one another is the kindness is used in building up one another and encouraging one another. Biblical kindness is not a way to appear religious, but instead to share Christ and display His character. God wants us to be Christians, to be intentionally kind in order to show people what Jesus is like. If we are praying for Christ-likeness, if we're striving to model Christ in our behaviors, then one of the ways in which we have the opportunity to do that is to be kind, and not to be kind just to say, hey, look at me, look how religious and Christ-like I am, so that we are, in a sense, being self-glorifying there, but how can I exhibit Christ in my life? And so for ladies, since we're focusing on biblical womanhood, kindness is the way that you can show someone that you are a child of God. And the way you can be used by God to glorify Him. So we need to seek opportunities to be kind. Kindness can come easy at times, right? In the right moment with the right people. And I think we all experience that with loved ones. Sometimes it's pretty easy to be kind to them. I don't know how many people are mourning people here, but I think sometimes God has a sense of humor in that husband and wife. He makes one of them a mourning person. He makes one of them a non-mourning person. Just so that we can try to exhibit that kindness to one another and overcoming kindness. Is this true? I'm seeing something. Yeah. just don't hit me up before I've had this, No. This kind of kindness, if it's God-like kindness within us, it's going to be challenged at times. It's not just going to be something that we will possess at the times when it's really easy in those spaces with loved ones or people that it's easy to be kind to, because they're being kind in return, they're reciprocating kindness. We will find that to express biblical kindness is that it will come in opposition to people who are not reciprocating it back to us. So that will be challenging, but we will know that it's His kindness when it is expressed even towards those who do not deserve our kindness. It's kind of like His agape love. If it's an overcoming thing in us, if it's a fruit that overcomes, then it's something that God has put within us. So it's when this kindness is challenged that it proves to be true biblical kindness. And this is intended so that we might stand out apart from this world. Because the world can show this kind of kindness, but in those places and spaces when it's easy, when they choose to be kind. And I think Christmas is the time of year where you see a lot of people trying to show kindness and grace to one another. And they can be worldly people, and they can put on kindness for a moment, but when that kindness is challenged and there's no God kindness within, then you see it fall apart. And then you see works of the flesh begin to manifest rather than the kindness of God that is found only when it's challenged. So Paul exhorts the women 6 times in just 3 chapters to be doers of good deeds. And these deeds are expressions of kindness. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Titus 1, 16. Silas, you want to read that one for us?
They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him. being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed.
So that is the world, right, that they choose not to show kindness. And we'll talk about that here in a moment, because the context of this is Paul is addressing a lot of the attitudes of non-Christians, like the Cretans, that were part of the culture of that day. You know, it was not seen as a good attribute for someone to be kind or for someone to be humble. So it's in stark contrast to the world. Look at Titus 2, 7, part A of this. But just go ahead and read the whole verse. Jesus, you want to read that?
Yes, sir. In all things, show yourself to be a model of good works with purity and doctrine, dignified.
Right. So being a model of good works. So Paul exhorting here again, women and men, that we should be doers of good deeds. And this is defined as good works. Look at Titus 2:14. Stephen, you got that one?
Yes. Okay. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works.
Zealous for good works, eager to do good works, because the motivation doesn't just come from the outside, it's when we feel like it, but it is welling up from within, because we're indwelled with God's Holy Spirit. So it is urging us on towards good works is what we read there. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Barry, you want to get that one for us?
Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work.
All right. I think we're getting the pattern here. Good work, being ready for good work, being urged towards good work. Let's look at the two others that are mentioned here. Look at Titus now, chapter 3, verse 8, part B. Chapter 8B. Becky, do you got that? Well, just go ahead and read the whole verse. Chapter 3, verse 8, yeah.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men.
So devoting oneself to good works, to exhibit this kindness and glorify God in doing so. And now we have the last one, Titus 3:14. Titus 3:14. Chad, you want to take that one for us?
And our people must also learn to devote themselves to good works for cases of urgent need, so that they will not be unfruitful.
So there again, good works throughout the book of Titus. That's the next to the last verse right there, commending believers, exhorting believers once again to be about good works. Not that we work our way towards salvation, but this is just the character trait of one who is a Christian. All right, so Paul has been addressing, as I mentioned, the context of this is the Cretans in that society, because they had a totally different cultural mindset. Their cultural mindset was not about showing kindness to one another, but it was always about advancing and walking over the top of one another. And what was needed in this culture to show the contrast of what a believer's life should look like when it's set against the backdrop of the world was women who loved their husbands and children, who lived morally pure lives, and they had a commitment to the home, and they were socially kind. And that would stand out in contrast to the Cretans, who were all about demanding their own rights. And as I mentioned, they're walking over the top of each other. And to exhibit one of these characteristics was to show a sign of weakness. And don't show that weakness, because someone's going to walk over the top of you. And it's tempting, you know, if I show kindness to that person, what is that going to bring in return? Are they going to walk all over me now because I'm showing them kindness? We're commanded, we're exhorted to show kindness, this Christ-like character.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Is that a proverb?
I'll find it here in a little while.
Yeah. Oh, kindness, yeah. Is it going to be challenged? Of course it is. And that's because we live in an ungodly world, in an ungodly society. Women should want their neighbors, their unsaved family, and for others to know Christ. And so with kindness, we can evangelize through character. I think we all understand here that evangelism doesn't just happen through our words. And kindness can certainly be shown through our words that we speak to one another. And when we do it sincerely, not sarcastically, we can be sarcastically kind. I know I'm capable of that, probably am that sometimes. But then also through the actions of kindness, you know, just doing a kind deed. Maybe it's serving a meal. Maybe it's bringing something to someone. Maybe it's visiting them in the hospital. And that can sometimes and oftentimes speaks more than words. Or it can underpin the words that would follow. As we proclaim Christ in our life, we do it through words of kindness and we do it through deeds of kindness as well. Older women should train younger women to be kind. I mean, that is what Paul is exhorting the women to do here. It's all about teaching the younger women to be this way and to exhibit, for the older women to exhibit this so that the younger women would follow suit and that they wouldn't just hear what these women, the older women are telling them, but they would actually see it done before them as well. And that goes both ways for men and for women alike. If we are of more maturity spiritually, then we should be the ones training the younger ones, and we should not only just be speaking this, that we should also be showing it towards one another. And thereby the lost will be drawn to Jesus and God will be glorified. But we can only exhibit this kind of kindness through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And the author of this biblical womanhood, biblical manhood, uses that word kind as an acronym, and he breaks it down so that we can remember four main points regarding kindness, biblical kindness. So it's an acrostic is similar to it. You know, we have the word kind, K-I-N-D. And so K being knowing God's heart. And then the second one is the I, and that's initiating sacrificial good deeds. And then the N part of it is nurturing the needy. And then the D is developing Christ-like discernment. So K-I-N-D, we're going to try to get through all of those. And then that will end our time together this morning. So knowing God's heart, that's the K. Initiating sacrificial good deeds, that's the I. Nurturing the needy is the N. And developing Christ-like discernment is the D of kind. So first one, knowing God's heart. Where do we go to know God's heart? Exactly, the scripture. And so we're going to look at some key passages here, I think, that describe God's kindness, his heart of kindness. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Yeah, go ahead and read it. You got it, Jesus? Okay.
Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Mm-hmm.
So Paul is taking this back to the kindness of God. If we're looking to be kind to others, we must first have a high view of God's kindness towards us. Because if we just dismiss what he has given to us and his rich kindness, then that will determine the degree by which we will be able to give it to others. So the more knowledge we have through God's word of his kindness towards us, then the better we're going to be able to exercise that gift of kindness in us. The horizontal, the vertical determines the horizontal. I think I've said that here before. When we understand the magnitude of all that God has given us through Christ Jesus our Lord, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, then that will determine the degree by which we, in that horizontal way, are willing to give and express it to others. So it's always with that knowledge of what God has done for us. And we need to be reminded of that. And that's why it's so important that we be in our scripture continually to learn of all of God's attributes and what he can do through us in glorifying himself. So don't think lightly of the riches of his kindness, as Jesus just read for us. Just because your life is going well doesn't mean you're right with God. Right, we see a lot of people prospering, but we see them living a very ungodly, licentious, immoral lifestyle. But understand that God, he is patient, and he has been very kind to you. It is his common grace that all of us receive, but for those of us who are believers, we have received that special grace that he has pursued us with, that he has saved us by. But he is patient and kind to everyone. The good things in your life should not be taken for granted. Produce praise and thanksgiving. He provides good things so you will only depend on him. We see in Scripture that God is kind. He is even good to his enemies. As I mentioned, the common grace, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But eventually, we know that God's patience will cease, and then so will his kindness. In eternity, where the believer, non-believers will depart for eternity, there will be no God's kindness there. There will be no common grace for them. It will only be the wrath of God. They will not experience the kindness of God. Romans 2 says that on a future day, God will judge with righteous justice and holy wrath. That was verse 5 of what Jesus read earlier. But God, he is a kind God, and he's kind to all people, even those who judge others wrongly and excuse their own sin to try to point out others' sin as being, you know, maybe it's worse than what I'm doing. It's complaining about maybe the splinter when we have the board protruding from our own eye. But as we mature in Christ, then we too have the kind heart of God. And that's what is so great about his word, is that we can model ourselves after God's attributes and seek to pattern ourselves after him when we know more of him. And I think that's why we need to study his word throughout, just chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because there's so many things that I think we can miss about God when we choose to skip over the things that we may not like, or we feel like everything is just a story about us. You know, we can approach it the wrong way. And I don't know if it was Stephen or Jesus that taught exegesis versus eisegesis. You know, the scripture exegetes God to us, and we learn about his nature, and we learn about these attributes that we can use to model our own lives after. So let's look at Colossians 3, verses 12 through 13. Another passage that helps us grow in just this knowledge of God's kindness. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 13. You have those, Cheryl?
Yeah.
You want to read them for us?
Sure.
Okay.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive.
All right.
To 13?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So we see a number of attributes or attitudes that we should, as believers, should possess. And Paul is speaking of it like this garment that we put on. I think we all understand what it is to clothe ourselves in something. You know, we might put on a sweater or a coat or a blouse or something like that. This is that what we're supposed to have in mind as we take on these characteristics of Christ. We're to put them on, that they should be covering us. Kindness is one of the more attractive garments in the Christian wardrobe. We're not merely to be kind, though, when we feel like it or we think about it. As we've already discussed, the true Christian works at kindness out of a matter of obedience to Christ. And so that's one of the second parts of knowing, the K in kind, knowing God's heart, is that it is a matter of obedience. Christian kindness is an act of obedience. It's not optional for the man or the woman of God who loves Christ. It's a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, you know, Paul compares the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And fruit of the Spirit, peace, patience, love, kindness, gentleness. Of course, it starts with love. But the Holy Spirit, if we're striving with the Spirit, then kindness towards others should be seen in our lifestyle and in our attitudes. True kindness is not expressed, though, naturally in people apart from God. So the non-believer, like I said, they might be able to show a semblance of kindness when others reciprocate it, or when it's easy, when they wake up in a good mood, or when they're in a good mood. But as soon as it's challenged, then it just falls apart. And what you might see is the other expressions, which are the works of the flesh that Paul describes. But as a child of God, as a Christian, it doesn't mean we're not going to stumble and lose our patience sometimes and act unkindly. But the character that should more define us is that we are kind. You will not find biblical kindness when you wake up in the mirror. You will not naturally want to be kind. This is gifted to us by the Holy Spirit, is the fruit. You will become truly kind only as you yield to the Holy Spirit moment by moment, and that is even to enemies, the ones that may be the hardest to show kindness towards. We probably all have coworkers. If we go into the workplace, we're going to have this kindness challenge as believers, and they may be intentionally doing it just to say, hey, I know that guy's a Christian, I know that woman's a Christian, and I'm just going to see if I can just poke the bear a little bit today and get them to, you know, act out in an ungodly way. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that, or you think somebody has intentionally done it to you to try to see if they can.
And it usually works. For a season.
Yeah.
And then you learn.
Yeah. And some people don't do it intentionally. They unintentionally, it's just their nature. Just comes against ours, and it's difficult to be kind to them. How about when you're driving the streets of Carlsbad?
We're not supposed to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the chapter we skip over.
I was thinking unkind thoughts until I realized it was you that cut me off, Barry. No.
Oh, thanks for telling me I was.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. I'll read this one. I'm cheating because Ray sent me some notes, and he's got all of the scriptures in the notes, so I don't have to find it. And the Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may give them true repentance, leading to the full knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And Paul, writing this instruction to Timothy, is realizing kind of what we were talking about earlier, is that there will be the enemies of God, those who are walking apart from the knowledge of God and his grace, that will love to quarrel. They will love to challenge. They will love to take the Christian and try to use them as an example of how someone who claims to be a Christian can act out in unkind ways, is that this is going to happen. But we must be patient when wronged. That's only something that God can produce within us, right? Being patient, even when we're wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, perhaps God may give them repentance, leading to the full knowledge of truth, that they could look at us acting patient and kind with them, even though they wronged us, and how that might be an opportunity to advance the gospel and to share it with them, that they might even be led to repentance, saying, hey, I expected them to act this way. They didn't. What they returned to me was something I didn't deserve. They returned kindness to me. And like, what is that saying about them? They must truly know something that I don't. They have the power of God within them. So here Paul exhorts Timothy to be kind, even to the enemies of Christ, so that they might see the true Christ and repent. Titus 3, 4 through 5, but when the kindness and affection of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not according to works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That God's kindness, his affection towards us, is seen in Christ Jesus, in that he would save us, that he would show us his grace in a saving way, that he would bring us who are enemies near to him, and he would do it by the washing and regeneration, the rebirth process of making a dead sinner into an alive child of God. And since God is so kind, we too are to be kind. Remember, it's that vertical determines the horizontal. We understand the kindness and the mercy so that we, in turn, we are able to show it towards others. Another part of this first part of the acrostic for being kind is in knowing God's heart is that, oh wait, no, we're finished with that. Okay, we're finished with knowing God's heart. The I, initiating sacrificial good deeds. That's the I part. So there's three ways that we do that. It's radical, it's practical, and it's intentional. Initiating sacrificial good deeds, radical, practical, and intentional. And I'll try to get through these fairly quickly. True biblical kindness is shown and seen when we initiate sacrificial good deeds to meet the real needs of others. That we just don't necessarily wait for the opportunities to come to us, that we go out and we find the opportunities to initiate sacrificial good deeds for the glory of God. So it's radical in Luke 6, 27 through 34. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who disparage you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also, and whoever takes away your garment, do not withhold your tunic from him either. Does this sound radical? Initiating good kindness, that's radical, right? That's Jesus. This is our model. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And treat others the same way you want them to treat you, the golden rule, right? And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? So like he's saying there, the easy things, the easy people to be kind to, that's not what is seen here. That's not what is truly manifesting this godly character in you. It's even sinners love those things, right? But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back from the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So in initiating kindness, we're to be as radical as we find it in Scripture, as the life of our Lord Jesus Christ was lived. Jesus takes the golden rule, right? God's standard for kindness, and he goes a step further in verses 32 through 34, right? It's even to your enemies. We are to do good. We're to lend, expecting nothing in return, because our mindset should be a kingdom mindset. This Christ-like kindness is not natural. It's not normal. Kindness is not necessarily fun, easy, or convenient, especially if it's radical kindness. It is supernatural and contrary to everything our society tells you to do toward unloving, rotten, and selfish people, which even some of us can be sometimes. The world tells you to treat them like trash. If they don't reciprocate, then you don't reciprocate to them. If they show you unkindness, you show them unkindness. Even you can take it to the degree of what the world would call hate. If they're selfish with you, you be selfish with them. But God tells you to treat them with love the same way Christ treats his enemies. And we see that in the last two verses of that text that I just read. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Throughout this, I'm kind of on repeat, but the vertical determining the horizontal. The true test of kindness is not when people are nice, but when people are rotten and mean to us. So when they cut you off in traffic, or when they annoy you just for being there. I know there's some people that can do that with us. But if you're kind when people are cruel, then you are truly kind. Then you are showing God-like kindness within you. So another way is to be practical. Initiating kindness or sacrificial good deeds is to be practical. Radical and practical. Somebody read Acts 9, 36 through 39 for me. Yes, sir.
Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated is called Dorcas.
Mm-hmm.
This woman was full of good works and charity, which she continuously did. And it happened at the time that she fell sick and died, and when they washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Now since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, pleading them, do not delay in coming to us. 39?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So Peter arose among them, and when they arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, crying, showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them.
All right. So Dorcas is this wonderful example of practical sacrificial good deeds. That she is seeing, she sees the opportunity to initiate good works, and she doesn't just look for somebody else to do it, but she goes out and she actually does it herself. She sees to the need of the needy. She sees that God has gifted her with this ability to make these things for other people. And wintertime, it's going to be cold, or some people just need covering. And so she takes it upon herself to use the skills that she has to be practical and to actually serve the Lord with this gift of making things for others. So initiating sacrificial good deeds, it's radical and it's practical. And we see that through Dorcas. And bless her heart for her name. Yeah. It wouldn't be kind to call somebody Dorcas today. So this text teaches us that Christian kindness means initiating sacrificial good deeds, even when the person can't repay you. You don't just do an act of kindness and then say, okay, now I've done it. It's like, come on, give me something in return. It has no expectation of a person being able to give back to us. Verse 39 says she made tunics, garments for the widows. She was kind. She was a generous woman. She was a woman who was probably older and showing younger women how to do these same things, how to be a kind person. And so she's a wonderful model of that. And obviously God blessed her by putting her name in scriptures to have this wonderful example for us. Showing kindness means using your talents, time, and treasure to meet the needs of others. And then the third thing we can do to initiate sacrificial good deeds is not just being radical, is not just being practical, but being intentional. Being intentional. Initiating good deeds is radical, practical, and it's intentional. Biblical kindness is knowing God's heart and initiating random deeds of kindness, but it should also have a particular focus. And we find that illuminated in Scripture as well. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, says, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." So rather than allowing revenge or hostility to be that thing that defines us or reigns in our heart, then we should rather eagerly pursue what is kind toward others. The Bible not only expects Christians to be kind, but presses us to purposefully look for opportunities to be kind and do kind deeds. You know, it's, again, coming back to that, not waiting for those things to come to us, but we are to be intentional and go out looking for those things, those opportunities to express kindness. So K in kind, we had that one. We have the I, which is intending to the initiating sacrificial good deeds. And now we have the N part, which is nurturing the needy. Nurturing the needy. Godly women should have a heart to minister to those around them. That means looking at your neighbors, looking down the road, where they sit in church. There are people within our congregation. If we don't get to know them, we don't really know their needs. But we're the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. When we get to know one another, then we should be able to discern those needs that we can meet and how we can be kind in our serving those needs. We have the poor among us. That means those who are afflicted, humble. That's what that word means, the poor. The godly woman has so much love to give that it doesn't stop with her family. Right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I've always, and maybe this is just my view of it, but when Paul describes the works of the flesh, it's plural. It's works of the flesh. And he lists a number of them. But when he calls it the fruit of the Spirit, fruit is singular. And he begins with love. And I think that all these others, the gentleness and the kindness, are an outflowing of that love that we have, that agape love. It's a love that overcomes what others might do to us. It doesn't reciprocate meanness or unkindness, but it always shows forth love. And so the godly woman has so much of this love of God in her that she doesn't just stop with ministering to her family and being kind to them, but it pours out to others, just like we saw with Dorcas. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. When James is writing about the faith of a non-believer, that there can be those that even demons will claim that there's God. They know that God is real. That is a type of faith, but it's the faith that even the demons possess. But there is a faith that should work out of the believer. If we have a saving faith, then that means we are indwelled by God, and out of us should be produced these things that meet the needs of others. And one of the ways, and James writes this shortly after he describes this, it's this. This is real religion. It's not just to give it lip service, but it's to do something about it. Visit orphans, visit widows in their affliction. And this verse reveals God's heart towards the needy. Okay, so that's the end part of this. And finally, the D of kind. So we had nurturing the needy, and now we have developing Christ-like discernment. Developing Christ-like discernment. Because the needs that we truly need to be meeting, the kindness that we need to be expressing, there is the unfruitful things that we could do. There becomes a time, I think, where we don't put our pearls out before swine. That, you know, Jesus would tell us that. So we need to be discerning. Kindness is not meant to be blind. Initiating good deeds and nurturing the needy must also embrace Christ-like discernment. Being kind should never be separated from the truth of God's word or godly wisdom. Okay, so in Titus 2:5, we have there that kindness is mentioned right next to sensibility. Right, so we need to be sensible in our acting in kindness towards one another, that we don't be unsensible about it. We need to be a good steward with gifts that God has given to us. The God of love, mercy, and grace is also the God of holiness and justice and wrath. The kind woman of God must also be a woman of truth and justice. So for Christians, there are three key principles to consider, and then these will wrap us up. The first principle is don't violate the truth of God's word. If kindness is ever expressed contrary to the scriptures, then it is not the kindness of God. And in the early church, there were phony Christians. There were those who thought everyone owed them a living, and we see this even still today, that they will just put on Christianity. Like many in society, they embrace the role of victim. We have the victim mentality. And any kindness to them fed their lazy selflessness. God wisely says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone is not willing to work, neither let them eat. And that's what the author means with having discernment with our acts of kindness. We'll prevent acts of kindness from being abused. And then the second principle is not to hinder the growth of Christians. You cannot spare Christians from dealing with the consequences of their sin. All right, we bail them out by a kind act, but God may be doing something in allowing them to not continue in the sin, but in his punishing them through that sin and working them through that process. You cannot prevent every trial that they may face if you always go in and bail them out. This applies to our raising of children too. You know, we can't hold the bike for them forever. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Of whatever man sows, this he will also reap. And sometimes you have to let them reap those things that they have sown. You know, I don't know, Raul, maybe you can speak to this because of your brother Ricardo. I mean, there were certain things that maybe the drug abuse had brought into his life, and there may have come a time where you just kind of have to back off in helping them out financially. You can keep continuing to give them words of wisdom, but maybe you had to back off in some ways there. I don't know if you experienced that or not. Don't want to put you on the spot. But
yeah, well, that's a great point, yeah. So he's been battling for a while, right? He was in and out of prison, but always made it very clear to him, right, that if he's wanting to progress, right, and to better himself, I'm all for it. But if he goes back into drugs, I cannot support that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I will not be, you know, a facilitator, right, of him mm-hmm. getting access to drugs and stuff like that, right? So he knows that. That he knows better, mm-hmm. right? And so I would always kind of he would give it away, right? When he was into drugs, he wouldn't seek me, mm-hmm. you know, he'd kind of avoid me, right? And so yeah, and whenever he right now that he's doing good, that's when he would reach out and you know, ask for some help, and
yeah,
he wants to better himself. But yeah,
good, yeah. Yeah, I think that's being discerning of how, and kindness can be shown in withholding too, because when sometimes the worst thing we can do is actually supplement that, you know. Yeah. No, thanks for sharing that. Sorry to, I just happened to have it cross my mind and see if you've had to, you know, encounter the same thing. If a Christian steals something, you're not going to be kind by replacing it yourself. The one who stole should bring it back or pay for it and deal with the consequences. Don't hinder their growth by your kindness, is what the author says here, which I think is a good point. Remember, you know, God's discipline is one way for Christians to repent and to grow. You know, and we must let that happen sometimes for them, and not have a harmful kind of kindness. You know, I think we can harm with kindness sometimes. Third principle is to discern when there is a real need and take action. Don't merely say kind words, do kind things. And we read that in James 2, verse 14, but it continues through verse 17. What use is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. And then James goes on to describe the real religion is seen as there's orphans, there's widows. So those are truly in need that need to have kindness shown to them. And those are the opportunities that we have to show Christ-likeness and a saving faith within us by expressing and giving in kindness to others. So knowing God's heart, that's the K. Initiating sacrificial good deeds, that's the I. Nurturing the needy, that's the N. And developing Christ-like discernment, that's the D. And I probably rushed through it here at the end, but I wanted to try to get through this. And a lot of it was, thankfully, Ray had most of his notes put together, and I just was able to expound on those a little bit. So thank you, Ray. I don't know if you'll be listening to this later. All right, well, let's close in a word of prayer as we get ready for our time of fellowship. Phil, would you close us, please?
Dear Father in heaven, Father, we are tremendously in debt to you. We thank you and praise you. We look forward to praising you perfectly in paradise. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that all these things that we are to do, that it is a learning process, that we don't just magically do all these things. We know it takes time to weed out the evil that is in us, the bad habits that we have. We pray, Father, that you would surely do that, for we desire to please you. We desire to help others. We desire all these things that your word says, yet we are hindered by our flesh. And we pray that the Spirit who dwells in us would overcome all of that, and that we would be wonderful examples of Christ. And as we go to the service, Father, we pray that our worship would be pleasing to you, for that's what we are here for, is to worship you, to give you praise, glory, and honor. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.